Preseason game number 2 of 3 for the Minnesota Vikings in the book. Another win. But this week is not without its difficulties, Pete. J.J. McCarthy injury, a meniscus tear. He has to get it repaired. He gets it a complete fix, so he will miss the entire season, and then hopefully be back next year. We talked a little bit about this off-air, but I think Matthew Collar, in my mind, put it best of J.J. McCarthy gave Kevin O'Connell the button to push, right? If the Sam Darnold experience is not what they hope it is, that he has that button to push. In the first preseason game of what we saw of J.J. McCarthy, and it was one preseason game against a Raiders team that, as we discussed, was terrible against the pass last year. However, he did exactly what you hoped that he would do, which is play very well and rebound from things like an interception, come out of the second half and play well. There was consistency there in his game, I think. And so everyone was very, very excited. In my mind, though, the fact that he's – and when it happened this week, when they came out and said the meniscus was torn and he was probably going to miss the season, and in my mind, other than the practice reps he was going to get, I don't know how much this necessarily hurts J.J. McCarthy's development as a quarterback and or changes how much he was truly going to play in the Vikings offense. However, yes, he's not going to get those reps. He's still going to be there. He's still going to get to learn in the film room. He's still going to absorb it all. And I think more than anything, J.J. McCarthy is going to come back very, very hungry and ready to go. And I think next year will be a phenomenal year for him. It does not bother me that he's not going to be on the field this year. I know it bothers other people. It just doesn't bother me that much because in my mind, I hope that Sam Darnold will play well enough to keep him on the sideline and learn and come out next year and be super, super hungry and ready to go.
Dave, it bothers me, but there's nothing we can do about it, right? I mean, it bothers me only because the progress that I have watched since he first got drafted by the Vikings to where he was getting to and what he looked like a guy, like we've talked about, the moment's not too big. And it makes sense, actually, because let's go back to we all know his record. His record as a high school player and a college player is just off the charts, but his Michigan performances were pretty stellar, right? I mean, across the board, it was never too big. And that's what I like so much about what he brought to the table for the Vikings. You know, the problem, and I always joke about this, as you know, about the USC quarterbacks, right? And I always say, name me a good USC quarterback. And I got it in front of me right here. Sam Darnold, 63 touchdowns, 56 interceptions. He's gone 8-10. And he's had one winning season, and that was with the Jets when he won 7, lost 6 as the starting quarterback. That's kind of the blueprint of what you see out of Matt Leinart, Sam Darnold, Matt Barkley, Mark Sanchez, John David Booty, who got drafted, didn't even play, was a practice squad guy. Sanchez has more interceptions than touchdowns. So does Barkley. So does Matt Leinart. you start going
list.
through
a great school to have that list of failed quarterbacks.
Right. And you know what it is? And it's not me being overly critical about USC, but I think you can be critical about this, which is, hey, look, USC is great. They did a great job all these years going all the way back to the 70s and 80s, right? When they have had so many great teams. But the problem is, how do you know how good the quarterback is? And it shows me that oftentimes the quarterback was not the best player. He gets all the notoriety. He gets all the press, everything. But when you look at what these guys do at the next level, at the NFL level, suddenly you say, well, maybe it was the fact that they had three guys on the offensive line that were first round draft picks.
Yeah.
And maybe a running back, probably a quarterback or a wide receiver or a tight end. Those teams were so loaded, whether it was Marcus Allen or whoever the running backs were, they had more guys that got Heisman trophies there than you can shake a stick at. And some of them were quarterbacks, but the reality was, did they even deserve them in college because of the players that they were surrounded by? You know, that's I would put a lot of those Alabama quarterbacks in this same sort of a category. They've had a little more success, but not a lot. Not all of them. So it's one of those things where, you know, what, how do you determine if they're as good as you expected them to be at the next level? Because the next level is different. And I do think when we look at this, I was curious, what did you think about the idea? You heard about the rumors and all the rest of the Tom Brady's talk and all of that.
Oh my gosh. What is he, 47 now?
He's 47 years old. And but here's the crazy part, Dave. He has kept himself in that position where people sort of wonder, he kind of sounds like maybe he's not done, right?
He
has given that to the press and everybody. I'm not saying he's gonna, but you know, JJ's a Michigan guy. Maybe Tom Brady's a Michigan guy. I mean, was there a possibility? Maybe we signed Matt Corral from the UFL, Ole Miss quarterback, but I'm not sure that's Tom Brady, right? So,
well, it's the whole, like, when Brett Favre, you know, when they signed Brett Favre for years, it was like, oh, they're going to sign Brett Favre. They're going to sign Brett Favre. I don't even know if they can afford it now, considering they just gave, you know, we talked about the Stephon Gilmore signing, gave him $10 million, number one. Number two, my guess is the reason that he's still kind of, you know, these little tidbits come out here and there. Part of it was from Colin Cowherd, who is a FS1 host, and Tom Brady is going to do football for Fox, right? I mean, you know this, Pete. It's the PR machine to keep things going. Do I want a 47-year-old Tom Brady quarterbacking the Vikings? No. Is he better than Sam Darnold? Probably.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. He probably is.
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to go he with probably yes is right now.
but there's to me, at 47 years old, there's no way that guy makes it through the season without getting injured. There's just none. But I will say this, and I fully recognize this, and I am curious if our listeners feel the same way. The 651-461-9226. It's the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. I am fully aware that in my mind, and in terms of Viking quarterbacks, I am afraid to love again. I get it. And I have a very strong feeling that there's a lot of people out there who feel the same way. I want to fall head over heels in love with J.J. McCarthy. I absolutely do. But I have before with Tavares Jackson, with Teddy Bridgewater, with Christian Ponder. So many first round quarterback picks that were like, yep, this is the guy who's going to be next. This is the guy who's going to be next. And they never were.
Yeah.
And I don't want my heart to be broken again. So that's why I keep saying I don't want to see J.J. McCarthy yet, because I want him to be ready for this stage, both physically and mentally. Mentally, 100%. He is there, Pete. You're right. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe that this injury will do nothing to his mental state. He will come back stronger than ever. The kid is a winner. The kid knows how to push himself, and he has since he was a young age, by all accounts.
Yeah.
But physically, the game speeds up. The hits are harder. The D-backs are faster. And it takes time to adjust. And I just don't want to see it. I didn't want to see him go out too early that he wasn't going to succeed, because I need this. Our hearts have been broken so many times. We need to finally have that franchise quarterback. I have been in Minnesota on and off since 2002. Been here since 2007, my second stint. What franchise quarterback have they had? I mean, Kirk Cousins, maybe. But everyone knows he couldn't win in the postseason and when the stage was the biggest. We need this guy. And we so badly need J.J. McCarthy to be him that I'm just not ready to put myself out there yet and get on the dating sites and be like, okay, I'm ready to do it. I'm just not there yet. I just don't want to have my heart broken.
So here's where I've got one question for you as far as quarterbacks, because I have an opinion. I don't know what your thoughts would be. Would there ever been a time that you would have considered Ryan Tannehill? And I understand he's had his ups and his downs, but overall, when you really look at his career, the guy's 64% completion. He's got 216 touchdowns, 115 interceptions, which basically is not bad at all. Good winning record. He's got experience in the postseason. He's always had a great running back, you know, with the big fellow back there. So what do you think? Would that have been a direction that you would have? I guess the better question would be this. Do you go for the corner to try to get things, you know, taken care of on the defensive side? Or do you worry more about the quarterback and you go for a guy like Ryan Tannehill? Could you? Could probably have afforded him. I would bet you. He's no one signed him, so I think the reality is you could probably get him for something very close to the Stephon Gilmore sort of a contract. I don't know.
Yeah, I think from their standpoint, they have bought in to Sam Darnold, right? I mean, they have no choice now. They have nothing. They can't go back and say, well, we signed Sam Darnold, but now since our rookie quarterback, who probably wasn't going to start the season, is out, let's go get another high-priced quarterback. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that works on a lot of levels. It's not that I don't think Tannehill could play, and if he's an improvement over Sam Darnold. I mean, you and I were both last year, like, how did the Vikings not get in on Joe Flacco? Who comes in and plays great for Cleveland. Mm-hmm. You know, instead they get the Pastrnak, who was good for a couple games, and then he's gone. So do I think that he would have been just as good, if not better, than Sam Darnold? Probably, but I also think that in because of the time that they're at, they have no choice but to stick with Darnold now, because you know as well as I do, Pete, that sometimes it's about egos with general managers and coaches, right? Like, they have to justify it. And Matt Collar touched on this with Lewis Cine. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to justify what you've done. And there's no way in my mind that they could say, well, you know what? We swung and missed on Sam Darnold, even though he hasn't played a game yet. Or maybe what you're saying is they should have taken him over Sam Darnold. I don't know what the financials would have been. I think, to me, they're one and the same. The one thing I'll say about Darnold, and we've talked a lot about him extensively, the one thing he hasn't had in his career, and I know we got a break, is Kevin O'Connell. And yeah. I think, for my money, if there's ever been a quarterback whisperer in the NFL, it's Kevin O'Connell. And I think, now what's his ceiling? I don't know. But I think Kevin O'Connell can bring the best out of Sam Darnold. Is that good enough? We'll find out. But I think Kevin O'Connell does.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Preseason game number 2 of 3 for the Minnesota Vikings in the book. Another win. But this week is not without its difficulties, Pete. J.J. McCarthy injury, a meniscus tear. He has to get it repaired. He gets it a complete fix, so he will miss the end of the rest of this season, miss the entire season, and then hopefully be back next year. We talked a little bit about this off-air, but I think Matthew Collar, in my mind, put it best, of J.J. McCarthy gave Kevin O'Connell the button to push. Right. If the Sam Darnold experience is not what they hope it is, that he has that button to push in the first preseason game of what we saw of J.J. McCarthy. And it was one preseason game against a Raiders team that, as we discussed, was terrible against the pass last year. However, he did exactly what you hoped that he would do, which is play very well and rebound from, things like an interception. Come out of the second half and play well. There was consistency there in his game, I think. And so everyone was very, very excited. In my mind, though, the fact that he's – and when it happened this week, when they came out and said the meniscus was torn and he was probably going to miss the season, and in my mind, other than the practice reps he was going to get, I don't know how much this necessarily hurts J.J. McCarthy's development as a quarterback and or changes how much he was truly going to play in the Vikings offense. However, yes, he's not going to get those reps. He's still going to be there. He's still going to get to learn in the film room. He's still going to absorb it all. And I think more than anything, J.J. McCarthy is going to come back very, very hungry and ready to go. And I think next year, will be a phenomenal year for him. It does not bother me that he's not going to be on the field this year. I know it bothers other people. It just doesn't bother me that much because in my mind, I hope that Sam Darnold will play well enough to keep him on the sideline and learn and come out next year and be super, super hungry and ready to go.
Dave, it bothers me, but there's nothing we can do about it, right? I mean, it bothers me only because the progress that I have watched since he first got drafted by the Vikings to where he was getting to and what he looked like a guy, like we've talked about, the moment's not too big. And it makes sense, actually, because let's go back to we all know his record. His record as a high school player and a college player is just off the charts, but his Michigan performances were pretty stellar, right? I mean, across the board, it was never too big. And that's what I like so much about what he brought to the table for the Vikings. You know, the problem, and I always joke about this, as you know, about the USC quarterbacks, right? And I always say, name me a good USC quarterback. And I got it in front of me right here. Sam Darnold, 63 touchdowns, 56 interceptions. He's gone 8-10, and he's had one winning season, and that was with the Jets when he won 7, lost 6 as the starting quarterback. That's kind of the blueprint of what you see out of Matt Leinart, Sam Darnold, Matt Barkley, Mark Sanchez, John David Booty, who got drafted, didn't even play, was a practice squad guy. You know, Sanchez has more interceptions than touchdowns. So does Barkley. So does Matt Leinart. You know, you start going through.
You go through such a great school to have that list of failed quarterbacks.
Right. And you know what it is? And it's not me being overly critical about USC, but I think you can be critical about this, which is, hey, look, USC is great. They did a great job all these years going all the way back to the 70s and 80s, right? When they have had so many great teams. But the problem is, how do you know how good the quarterback is? And it shows me that oftentimes the quarterback was not the best player. He gets all the notoriety. He gets all the press, everything. But when you look at what these guys do at the next level, at the NFL level, suddenly you say, well, maybe it was the fact that they had three guys on the offensive line that were first-round draft picks.
Yeah.
And maybe a running back, probably a quarterback, or excuse me, a wide receiver or a tight end. Those teams were so loaded, whether it was Marcus Allen or whoever the running backs were, they had more guys that got Heisman trophies there than you can shake a stick at. And some of them were quarterbacks, but the reality was, did they even deserve them in college because of the players that they were surrounded by? You know, that's I would put a lot of those Alabama quarterbacks in this same sort of a category. They've had a little more success, but not a lot, not all of them. So it's one of those things where, you know, how do you determine if they're as good as you expected them to be at the next level? Because the next level is different. And I do think when we look at this, I was curious, what did you think about the idea? You heard about the rumors and all the rest of the Tom Brady's talk and all of that.
Oh, my gosh. What is he, 47 now?
He's 47 years old. But here's the crazy part, Dave. He has kept himself in that position where people sort of wonder. He kind of sounds like maybe he's not done, right? He has given that to the press and everybody. I'm not saying he's gonna, but you know, JJ's a Michigan guy. Maybe Tom Brady's a Michigan guy. I mean, was there a possibility? Maybe we signed Matt Corral from the UFL, Ole Miss quarterback, but I'm not sure that's Tom Brady, right? So,
well, it's the whole, like, when Brett Favre, you know, when they signed Brett Favre for years, it was like, oh, they're going to sign Brett Favre. They're going to sign Brett Favre. I don't even know if they can afford it now, considering they just gave, you know, we talked about the Stephon Gilmore signing, gave him $10 million, number one. Number two, my guess is the reason that he's still kind of, you know, these little tidbits come out here and there. Part of it was from Colin Cowherd, who is a FS1 host, and Tom Brady is going to do football for Fox, right? I mean, you know this, Pete. It's the PR machine to keep things going. Do I want a 47-year-old Tom Brady quarterbacking the Vikings? No. Is he better than Sam Darnold? Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. Probably. He probably is.
I'm
going
to say yes. I'm going to go with yes right now.
but there's, to me, at 47 years old, there's no way that guy makes it through the season without getting injured. There's none. But I will say this, and I fully recognize this, and I am curious if our listeners feel the same way. The 651-461-9226. It's the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. I am fully aware that in my mind, and in terms of Viking quarterbacks, I am afraid to love again. I get it. And I have a very strong feeling that there's a lot of people out there who feel the same way. I want to fall head over heels in love with J.J. McCarthy. I absolutely do. But I have before with Tavares Jackson, with Teddy Bridgewater, with Christian Ponder. So many first round quarterback picks that were like, yep, this is the guy who's going to be next. This is the guy who's going to be next. And they never were. Yeah. And I don't want my heart to be broken again. So that's why I keep saying I don't want to see J.J. McCarthy yet, because I want him to be ready for this stage, both physically and mentally. Mentally, 100%. He is there, Pete. You're right. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe that this injury will do nothing to his mental state. He will come back stronger than ever. The kid is a winner. The kid knows how to push himself, and he has since he was a young age by all accounts.
Yeah.
But physically, the game speeds up. The hits are harder. The D-backs are faster. And it takes time to adjust. And I just don't want to see it. I didn't want to see him go out too early that he wasn't going to succeed, because I need this. Our hearts have been broken so many times. We need to finally have that franchise quarterback. I have been in Minnesota on and off since 2002. Been here since 2007, my second stint. What franchise quarterback have they had? I mean, Kirk Cousins, maybe, but everyone knows he couldn't win in the postseason and when the stage was the biggest. We need this guy, and we so badly need J.J. McCarthy to be him that I'm just not ready to put myself out there yet and get on the dating sites and be like, okay, I'm ready to do it. I'm just not there yet. I just don't want to have my heart broken.
So here's where I've got one question for you as far as quarterbacks, because I have an opinion. I don't know what your thoughts would be. Would there ever been a time that you would have considered Ryan Tannehill? And I understand he's had his ups and his downs, but overall, when you really look at his career, the guy's 64% completion. He's got 216 touchdowns, 115 interceptions, which basically is not bad at all. Good winning record. He's got experience in the postseason. He's always had a great running back, you know, with the big fellow back there. So what do you think, would that have been a direction that you would have? I guess the better question would be this. Do you go for the corner to try to get things, you know, taken care of on the defensive side? Mm-hmm. Or do you worry more about the quarterback and you go for a guy like Ryan Tannehill? Could probably have afforded him. I would bet you. He's no one signed him. So I think the reality is you could probably get him for something very close to the Stephon Gilmore sort of a contract. I don't know.
Yeah, I think from their standpoint, they have bought in to Sam Darnold, right? I mean, they have no choice now. They have nothing. They can't go back and say, well, we signed Sam Darnold, but now since our rookie quarterback, who probably wasn't going to start the season, is out, Let's go get another high-priced quarterback. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that works on a lot of levels. It's not that I don't think Tannehill could play, and if he's an improvement over Sam Darnold. I mean, you and I were both last year like, how did the Vikings not get in on Joe Flacco, who comes in and plays great for Cleveland? Mm-hmm. You know, instead they get the Pastrnak, who was good for a couple games, and then he's gone. So. Do I think that he would have been just as good, if not better, than Sam Darnold? Probably, but I also think that in because of the time that they're at, they have no choice but to stick with Darnold now, because you know as well as I do, Pete, that sometimes it's about egos with general managers and coaches, right? Like, they have to justify it, and Matt Collar touched on this with Lewis Cine. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to justify what you've done. And there's no way in my mind that they could say, well, you know what? We swung and missed on Sam Darnold, even though he hasn't played a game yet. Or maybe what you're saying is they should have taken him over Sam Darnold. I don't know what the financials would have been. I think, to me, they're one and the same. The one thing I'll say about Darnold, and we've talked a lot about him extensively, the one thing he hasn't had in his career, and I know we got a break, is Kevin O'Connell. And I think, for my money, if there's ever been a quarterback whisperer in the NFL, it's Kevin O'Connell. And I think, now what's his ceiling? I don't know. But I think Kevin O'Connell can bring the best out of Sam Darnold. Is that good enough? We'll find out. But I think Kevin O'Connell does.